The Federal Reserve details its exit strategy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's the Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll get the details of how the Fed will withdraw its support of the economy. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up right now. The Dow's up 42 points at 12,602. The NASDAQ up 0.3%, and same with the S&P 500. The government said this morning that the number of people filing for first-time unemployment benefits fell last week to 409,000. Economists hope for a number at or below 375,000, though, to indicate healthy job growth. Well, the president of the New York Federal Reserve said this morning that commodity prices are pushing inflation a bit higher right now, but he expects that trend will reverse soon. He's speaking just a day after the Fed released the details of its latest meeting, at which policymakers discussed an exit strategy. The Fed's $600 billion bond buying program ends next month. Diane Swonk is chief economist with Mesirow Financial. She's with us live now from Chicago, as she is every Thursday. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
Well, what did we learn about the Fed's plan from the minutes that were released yesterday?
Well, what we learned is the Fed plans a very gradual exit from its strategy to support the economy because the economy is still, the recovery is going on, but it's still pretty fragile. So the Fed plans to go very slowly. Eventually, it will raise rates, and then it will start selling off parts of its balance sheet. But all of this is in the context of being gradual.
And, you know, the economy has been recovering, albeit slowly, over the last several quarters. How vital is the Fed at this point to sort of propping up the U.S. economy?
Well, the reality is both the Fed and the federal government are no longer the stimulus they once were in terms of providing growth. The economy really needs to get on its own footing and move forward on its own now. The Fed isn't pulling the rug out from underneath us, but there's really not much more can do to juice up the economy, which means we'll continue to muddle along, but we're not going to see a surge in growth anytime soon.
Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial. Thanks so much, as always.
Thank you.
Well, the board of California's pension fund says next year employees will have to put more money toward their retirement because less money will come from the state. States around the country are grappling with big budget deficits and are increasingly looking to pension funds for cash. New York's governor reportedly wants to slash benefits for future state workers to save money. For more on all this, let's bring in Marketplace Economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Good morning.
Hey, Jeremy.
So how much trouble are these pension funds actually in?
Some state and local governments are in real trouble. You look at Illinois, and boy, that unfunded pension liability is a disgrace. Mm. It is a crisis. But you take a step back, you look nationwide, you say, look, we have a long-term funding problem. We need to put more money into these pensions. It's not a crisis. It's a problem that needs to be dealt with.
And should the existing workers and retirees that work for states be concerned that the state will go after their benefits that they've already been promised?
Well, to the extent that the states can, they're going to. It's very hard to change promised benefits for existing workers. Now, in some states you can, and there's some very clever lawyers, very high-priced lawyers that have come up with ways to modify consumer price index adjustments and things like that. But new workers, they're going to get the brunt of the hit.
They're going to get the brunt of the hit. So what can be done to shore up the finances in the long run?
Well, in the long run, employees are going to contribute more. The employer, state and local governments contribute more, and they're going to have to be more conservative in their forecasts. They've been building in these forecasts saying that we're going to be making 8% on our money. No, you're not. You might be making 4% or 5% of your money. But here's my concern, Jeremy. If the pension benefit is less generous, are you going to attract as good a worker? You know, we were talking about teachers, policemen, firemen.
Right.
Are they going to come in and do these jobs? That's the real concern about this whole discussion.
Marketplace Economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896, AllianzUSA.com. And by Constant Contact, celebrating the success of small businesses throughout Small Business Week. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
Katie Couric will anchor the CBS Evening News tonight for the last time. Couric has been making $15 million a year at CBS, but during her almost five-year run as anchor, she hasn't been able to boost the ratings. So why does CBS think Couric's replacement, Scott Pelley, will do any better? Come to think of it, why are the networks still trying to make money with news programs? Here's reporter Sally Herships.
News is cheap.
You don't have to pay actors. You don't have to do sets. You don't have to write scripts.
John Greening teaches advertising at Northwestern University in Chicago. Greening says news is much cheaper to produce than a police drama and still attracts big general audiences. Nielsen Ratings says network news pulls in almost 18 million viewers a night, including deep-pocketed aging baby boomers.
It's part of the reason why when you watch network news, you feel like you've taken a trip to your medicine cabinet.
Greening says a big chunk of evening news ads are for medications. Leonard Lodish teaches marketing at Wharton. He says advertisers choose news because they're hoping some of its respectability and trust will rub off on their products.
The environment that someone sees an ad in can influence their response to the ad.
Greening says even though ratings may be down, ad rates are not. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, to a major recall going on at the superstore chain Meijer, it is calling back a 12-piece tea light candle set. The candles come in different colors and scents, including Snappy Spice, Sunny Tuscany, and Sweet Love. Those names are not the reason for the recall. The reason for the recall is the candles pose a fire hazard. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Government learns a lot from natural disasters. It sets up offices to monitor hurricanes and earthquakes, for instance. So what they learn from our most recent financial disaster?
Here's the hazardous forecast for the mortgage markets. For tomorrow, there is a slight risk of increased foreclosures and a possible housing bubble.
I'm Kai Rizdal, monitoring our financial health. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.